You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
And welcome to another episode of Weeby Geeks. It is your typical host, I guess, Mike, Jules, and Marty. How you guys doing this week?
Lovely.
Wonderful.
Jules is back. Jules is back, yeah. Manager. She's going to try and manage us now.
We missed you, but we did fill our female quota for the show last week with our guests.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, that's how it is.
Now. We made sure not to get too raunchy in the beer and fart jokes. So,
I'm going to say this, Jules. I don't report to you. Of course, that all goes back to pre-show conversation. And speaking of pre-show conversation, your husband Keith gave us a heads up about some news from Wizard World, and I've got their announcement. Wizard World announced on June 3rd that Wizard World is coming to Orlando next year in 2016. The inaugural event will be August 5th through the 7th at the Convention Center. The building they have pictured is the new building where MegaCon was in 2014.
Oh, nice.
Of course, celebrity and comic creator guests and other details about the event will be announced as they are confirmed. Wizard World has 26 events scheduled on its 2015 calendar. Confirmed events for 2015 and 2016 are available on the link that they have in this press release if you go to their news section. Along with Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Greenville, South Carolina, Orlando is one of three inaugural shows to date that is scheduled for 2016 Wizard World debuts. So three new shows. So it looks like the question is going to be, is Wizard World Fort Lauderdale going away and they're just moving it up here or what? That'll be interesting to see. And of course,
the real question is, what's in Greenville, South Carolina?
There's a hockey team.
Seems like a really
There's
odd
a minor, like baseball team. Yeah.
The hockey team? What hockey team?
The Greenville Growl. Yeah, it's ECHL. Sorry.
Yes. So I guess there's things going on.
But I'm the one who knows that. Well, let's see. If I go to their homepage, other show. I mean, some of the other cities that they're in. Sorry, Fort Lauderdale. Okay, if you're going to be in Fort Lauderdale, you might as well go ahead and be down in Miami. That's all I got to say.
Maybe this is like the cheaper option. It's like, well, we could go for the really big city, but what if we get that city adjacent? Oh, yeah, then it drops the cost down in like a half.
Well,
because I mean, okay. Like, actually, if you pull up their site, the next one is Des Moines,
yeah,
Iowa.
Yeah.
So is that a big city to go to in Iowa? I don't know. I mean,
yeah, in September, they're in some small town in Pennsylvania.
Never heard of it.
Let's see. Yeah, looking at some, like, okay, starting next year, New Orleans, that's been an ongoing show that's been real good for them. Portland in February. Do that with Emerald City, Seattle. Never mind.
There is one in Portland, though.
Yeah.
It's a big con.
Cleveland, Atlanta, Las Vegas, St. Louis.
But of all the cities that they have listed, Greenville is like the one of like, wait, what's that known for? I don't
Madison, Wisconsin.
Many, I don't know.
Madison, Wisconsin?
Packers?
No.
I mean, some of these for me are all sports related anyways, but you know,
yeah.
So, and I guess I don't really know South Carolina that well. So no offense to anybody that may be listening from there, but what the crap is in Greenville? I need to know this now.
Yeah. But I'm sitting here looking at this. I wonder how many of these are going to repeat next year as well. Because, like, Fort Lauderdale is October. So, really, you're going to try, for the state of Florida, you're going to try and do Wizard World Orlando in August and then continue on with Lauderdale in October. And then, of course, MegaCon is going to be in May next year. This is going to be interesting because now with Memorial Weekend, you might as well say June for MegaCon, but into May, 4 days. Then you got June. Then you literally have 10 weeks before before Wizard World. Mm-hmm. 9 weeks, actually. 9 weeks before events? Really?
Need a break. I guess. Maybe this is their downtime.
I don't see where people are going to want to pay $75 for MegaCon. Probably going to be more than that since it's going to be 4 days next year. So let's say $80 for MegaCon for 4 days, or actually $100 for 4 days, and then $75 for another convention 9 weeks later.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you have Florida SuperCon in July in Miami. And then you have a couple anime conventions in the area. Then you've got Walker Stalker Con, which is in June here in Orlando, or it is this year, and most likely will be back next year. So you're talking for 4 months, May, June, July, and August. Sorry about that. May, June, July, and August. You're talking four major shows in 4 months. That's going to be stretching a lot of wallets.
Marty, we might have to move down there so we can bask in all the glory of conventions.
Well, I am actually now looking up information on Greenville. I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on this Greenville. Like, what the crap is there? So I had to look it up, and apparently maybe the selling factor to Greenville is that it's located approximately halfway between Atlanta, Georgia, and Charlotte, North Carolina, I guess. So maybe you're gutting both of those people, possibly. It's like the sixth largest municipality in the state, third largest urban area in South Carolina. None of these things are selling. But apparently it's got a few venues. I guess Furman University is there. Festival. It does have some festivals there.
Yeah.
Like Fall for Greenville, which is a three-day music festival. Astrosphere, the three-day art festival held every spring. There's the Comics and Toys MonsterCon, which is a three-day comic and sci-fi held every summer.
Okay.
They're trying to compete with them.
When is it this year? When is that show this year?
That's another search here, I guess I'll find. Let's see. Upstate Shakespeare Festival, the Greek Festival, New South Comedy Fest. All right, enough about Greensville. Apparently it's good enough.
Well, I was gonna say if that one toy and comic show is their big thing at the moment, and that summer.
Right.
Next year, Wizard World Comic Con is supposed to be July of 2016. So this is gonna put it in almost the same.
Got it's possible that maybe they bought this one.
That could
be. Fun, yeah. MonsterCon. I just like to say it. MonsterCon, South Carolina. Let's see. July 23rd through the 26th, 2015.
So I'm wondering if you're right, if Wizard World bought them.
That is very possible.
If not, next year, if they keep the same time period for MonsterCon, you're talking two shows back-to-back weekends. That's going to hurt.
I'd say more than likely, because, I mean, that's what most of the shows at Wizard World get are smaller shows that they have bought that are already kind of established and that they kind of have at least a local bearing on within, you know, this is a good place, this is not so great, you know, this is where you want to be. So that would be my guess, is since we just found that out. The show even existing, can't say for sure.
But well, also
same
too,
time period, same city.
Well, also too, here in Orlando, we've got Spooky Empire and Spooky Empire's Mayhem. Spooky Empire's in early October, Mayhem's in May. So, I mean, we've got quite a bit that happens. Something's gotta
give. Are you feeling like the boom is about to happen? Like there's going to be that bubble just kind of burst
I feel like I just don't have enough vacation time for all these different shows. And still be able to, you know, try and schedule time to stay home with Zoe when school's not in session. But MonsterCon.
Sunday!
That's what it feels like, right?
Yeah. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I still say we be geeks gathering at Wizard World, Orlando.
Yeah, it could happen. I might have actually found something.
Uh-oh.
Just found an article that says MonsterCon defies the almighty Wizard World. So maybe they did not.
Ooh.
Yeah, in a recent announcement by Wizard World, Greenville, South Carolina will be the next location in July 2016. There's only one problem. There's already a show, as we're just now finding out. Sorry. Let me skim this real quick.
There's already a show on
Sunday.
So, MonsterCon has responded on Facebook saying to answer current speculation. information on if MonsterCon will still be booking for July in 2016. Yes, we will. No matter when or where another show books in upstate South Carolina, July is still the month we are booking. Interesting. So, wow. So it could actually be
back-to-back weekends.
What if it was? What if it was even the same weekend?
Whoops.
Where's
and like just like in right across the street from each other?
Now wait,
like
where is MonsterCon? Where is it held at?
Greenville. I don't
know. Yeah, right. does it tell the building?
Would we know the difference?
Yes, because I have.
Do you have? Have they already announced it for Wizard World?
Yes. So, MonsterCon, South Carolina. Found it, maybe. Ah, okay. MonsterCon.org.
What, is MonsterCon just a Comic-Con?
It's toys, comics and toys. But their site is really piss poor.
You have okay, it is the same one that I was looking at. Like, this can't be it.
Location, Orchard Place, Gaffrey, South Carolina.
Is that for the actual convention, or is that for the Con Cafe at Orchard Place?
I'm seeing the poster. Comics and Toys MonsterCon, Gaffney, South Carolina.
Okay, well,
it's got to be.
It says above, it says MonsterCon is more than just a show. We are open 7 days a week as a coffee bar in Gaffney, South Carolina.
It's got to be something similar to Franklin to Nashville. Gaffney's got to be. It's got to be close.
Sure. I just trying to get out their site.
The site's horrible.
Yeah, no offense, MonsterCon, but put some money into that.
I mean, the show poster looks great, but oh my god, this site's horrible. So if they're in Gaffney, let's check a map. Gaffney, South Carolina. Gaffney, South Carolina. Google Maps. Here we go. And if it's right outside of Greenville, then I'm suspecting they're not in the same building. If that's the case,
that'd be sad. I want to see a war of nerds.
It's
like an hour away
from Greenville.
According to Gaffney, South Carolina to Greenville, South Carolina is 52 miles away.
Then why are they? Why is Greenville?
I mean, it's going to be the same people. Right? I mean, it's only I would think they're the same vicinity.
I don't get why it pops up as part of Greenville's events.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because it looks like it's about the midway point between Greenville and Charlotte. So Gaffney actually might be a better location just to get the Charlotte people show.
Oh, wait. I found another MonsterCon. Maybe it's the same company. MonsterCon 2014 is coming up July 18th through the 20th. So that was last year. So maybe they moved to Gaffney this year. I don't know. Don't know. It doesn't make sense. But it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to try and pull both off the same weekend.
Yeah, I'd say that would be pretty magnificent, I think, to see just the one time. It'd be like seeing a star across from a Starbucks. Just shouldn't happen, but it does.
I when we were in Denver at Christmas, there was literally one Starbucks a block and a half away from another.
Yeah.
No joke. Absolutely no joke.
Did you ever see the Daily Show back when like Lewis Black was on it, and he actually had a segment in his Back in Black segment where there was a video of a Starbucks, and video went across the street, and there was another Starbucks straight across the street, and he was just like, of course he, did his best Lewis Black spazzing out on it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Pretty brilliant.
So, before we get too much further along, as if that's not too late, as we've been rambling about Wizard World. Yes, Wizard World, free promotion, so remember us when we apply for press passes. check out, Father's Day's coming up. Go to Amazon.com through WeebieGeeks.net. Get Dad a little something, like maybe some, Audio-Technica headphones? That work?
Could work.
Some nice headphones there, like the M50X or the M40 or the M30Xs, all of that. Great headphones. It's worth it. Or you could go to Superhero Stuff and get them a hero box. Or just whatever t-shirt from whatever comic or sci-fi movie or whatever that he's interested in. And for the moms or the daughters that are feeling left out, go check out Her Universe. Also on the site, click on them and get stuff like the new Avengers Marvel merchandise they have out. The new Star Wars merchandise, like the Zoe wants the Sabine kid's tunic shirt. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty awesome. So, also too, any of the shows on the network, I have a direct link to our iTunes, to the different iTunes links, for those shows. So feel free to click on those and I'll take you right to the show to get you all subscribed if you're not subscribed already. So,
also go on Amazon, right? Amazon. Our site, and then they can buy whatever they want. And then we get some stuff too, right? We get,
yep,
like,
we get some cost you nothing extra, but we get some kickback. Speaking of kickback, Disney is pulling Tron 3. And a lot of speculation is because of just how bad Tomorrowland did.
Huh. Yeah, but those are like separate beasts. So yeah. Don't you think it's more the, because it seemed like they almost did like a teaser or a feeler, like saying, hey, we're thinking about doing a Tron 3. And everyone was like, oh, really?
Yeah, but they, like, oh, but when they canceled it, there was already, within 24 hours, there was already over 25,000 signatures asking.
To cancel it or to,
no, keep, to bring it back.
Well, those guys are idiots, so we should be more than that. Just watch Tron 2 again and think about it real hard. Do we really need another one? Do we? Just go watch the original again. You'll be all right.
The original was great. Tron Uprising, the cartoon, was amazing and should have been the second.
I'll give you that.
Should have been the second movie, but
I'll give you that. We don't need enough.
Send all hate mail
to. We don't need another Tron.
Send all hate mail to Marty at.
at Giant Yoda, come on, bring it. If you think we actually need a Tron 3 based on what they did with Tron 2, then I'll block you all day long, because that's just ignorant.
You know what? I haven't seen Tron 2, so
I haven't. Oh, yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I didn't see it either.
You're not missing.
So they're saying
better special effects. That's about it, but no story.
So yeah, here's the paragraph that talks about, because this information came from Yahoo Movies. Disney has had strong success in its live action properties recently, including Maleficent and this year's Cinderella, which earned $527.4 million worldwide. Million.
Wow.
And I can make another comment, which I won't. That has to do with work, but yeah, no. But it recently had a stumble with the $180 million live action film Tomorrowland, which underperformed at the box office with a $33 million US debut.
I didn't even know that was out yet. It's out?
May 22nd came out. And it bombed for a Memorial Weekend opening, for a holiday weekend.
Well, they can't all be like $50 billion movies, right?
Well, there was John Carter that had this, and then after that was Lone Ranger, when those two did poorly.
Yeah.
Now, Disney looked at Bruckheimer and said, your next Pirates movie, the budget you thought you had, yeah, cut in half.
See, I'm going to go on my John Carter rant, but I didn't read the book before I watched the movie, so I liked the movie because I didn't know what I was missing. I was like, oh, this is good. It's got action, blah, 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 you know, it's a decent story. And then I read the book and I was like, I was like, if they just would have followed the book a little bit closer. I mean, there was some similar things, but there was some that wasn't nowhere similar. You know, he's on Mars. That was similar.
Right.
John Carter's name was similar. But
that's where it ends.
They really could have had such a strong, because there's what, eight books. I don't know. There's like seven, I think. I mean, they could have had this go on forever. So I'm just kind of mad that I'm only getting my one John Carter movie that nobody liked.
someone else might be putting it out. Might be rebooting the franchise movie wise.
Yeah, I've heard that, but that's all I've heard, like rumor. But nothing else comes of it. So
yeah, I'm not sure who actually still has the rights. If it's still Disney, or if Disney gave up the rights, or they lost the rights because of how underperformed the movie.
You should Google it. I thought I heard something about.
We wasted enough time with Google tonight. Because what the hell's in Greenville?
Inquiring minds need to know. What's interesting though with Tomorrowland is, I mean, did either of you have interest in seeing the movie? You know,
I have some.
Even if it wasn't necessarily opening weekend, did you have interest in seeing it like in the theater, or maybe it was wait until home release, or what?
I wouldn't mind seeing it in the theater, but I mean, if I don't catch it until home release, then so be it. I know a good part of it was filmed here in Orlando, here in the Florida area. I mean, part of it was filmed at the actual Carousel of Progress in Tomorrowland at Disney. I know part of it was filmed over at the Cape. I would love to see it, partially because of some of the hype with it that Brad Bird put behind it with the whole viral campaign of, oh, look, we found this mystery box, and, you know, just continued on. And movies cheat sheet or cheatsheet.com, I mean, they said the five mistakes that made it a flop was the return of Brad Bird's odd Randian exceptionalism, which I'm really not familiar with what this is, and I probably
that's when they copy Randy from that My Name Is Earl.
I have it here. The Randian message of exceptionalism is pulled straight from the pages of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. The Incredibles is Brad Bird's most overt try at that message, emphasizing only a few people deserve to be super, and that a world where everyone stands on level ground is nothing short of a dystopian nightmare. They're saying that Tomorrowland carries the same theme. The number two is the weak story. there's no need to read the description on this one. They say it's a weak story. Okay, fine. I do need to go back. There's an interesting phrase.
The previews look good, but it didn't look like something I was like dying to go to the theater to see. I don't know why, because I like that kind of stuff, but I just was like, I didn't even realize it was out, so like I wasn't really keeping up with it. But right. I don't know.
The last there's two paragraphs for this explanation for the weak story. And the second paragraph starts off, what was supposed to be an original script was still massively a derivative, pulling just about every beat of its tale from the hero monomyth. We've seen Brad Bird do this before, and do it much better than they did with this one. So, third reason it failed. The unexplored universe. I didn't get how this one pen controls a different universe, yet, you know, with some of the previews, we see the main gal or the main actress looks like she's sitting in a chair, then she lets go of the pen and she's actually in a car. Mm-hmm. Or all of a sudden we see her like run into something and there's nothing there that she ran into, but she lets go of the pen and she ran into a wall in the other universe. Then how does she survive in both universes? How does she avoid all of this in Tomorrowland?
Yeah.
Without eventually having the real world interfere and get killed by a car that she didn't see because she's touching the pen.
That's a good point. I never thought of that.
Because there's no cars in Tomorrowland. That's silly. They're all flying hoverboards by then.
That's hilarious. I thought of that point of view. That's so true.
The number four reason, the sense of impending doom and gloom. A large portion of Tomorrowland was predicated on the idea that the world was doomed to utter destruction in approximately 68 days. No, that's the movies. Doomed to...
And say making the movie possibly a bit too heavy than it probably should have.
So
I saw like an extended trailer where she finds Clooney at his house.
Yeah.
And then the people come to, they find him and start talking to him and like they know him.
That's because they've been tracking her.
All robots. Yeah, they're like all robots that come and get them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wait, what? Why? Okay.
So the final paragraphs, I swear someone's believing Al Gore and Bill Nye the Science Guy with one of these. Unfortunately, the movie ends and that doom future still felt pretty feasible. The polar ice caps are melting. Okay, if they're melting, why have we for the last few years had global freezing in the winter? You know, the harsh winters. If they're melting, why have the polar ice caps been growing year after year after year for the last few years? Or I think for the last decade. It's, yeah, I mean... It's politics. It's whatever. We're not getting into it. No, war and famine are still worldwide epidemics, and Tomorrowland is still not sharing any of their amazing technology with Earth to prevent any of this. Okay, whatever.
So that, in their eyes, that was a flop. That was Disney. They're not very happy with that.
Yeah.
It was more of a flop also in the sense that it cost them $180 million to make, and it only returned $30 in its opening weekend. So, and any studios can see that as a major flop.
These are reasons why what led to the flop. Now,
I think, you know, possibly having an even less recognizable, you know, I didn't know Tomorrowland was even part of Disney until you guys told me. So, one of the rides. So it's like, the average person.
It's one of the lands that make up Magic Kingdom. Or Disneyland. Each one of the main Disney parks, be it Tokyo Disney, Disneyland Paris, Disneyland Hong Kong, Disneyland Shanghai, Disneyland itself, Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. Each one of them have a Tomorrowland. I want to say each one of them have a Frontierland and Adventureland and Fantasyland.
Well, can you say the same thing? Like, you know, when it was first announced that they were going to make a Pirates of the Caribbean movie, everybody was like, you know and it was going to be, it was pretty well known. It was like, oh yeah, it's based kind of off the ride, you know, or has some, you know, that's the idea, that's the premise, it's from the ride. This, that could have been the same failure had it not been for Johnny Depp's acting.
Oh yeah.
So this is like the kind of the first attempt of some feature at Disney that's not really well known per se, or actually, you know, less known than even the pirate ride. And you got Clooney attached to it, but it didn't have like a Johnny Depp-esque action, acting experience.
But it's not the first Disney film based on a Disney attraction that bombed.
Oh yeah. I'm not thinking of any others.
Eddie Murphy, Haunted Mansion.
Oh yeah, I never even seen that. That's how
and good it was. The big flaw with that one. That one was supposedly taking place in Louisiana, because the original attraction in California is set in New Orleans Square. So it's supposed to be but the one here in the one here in Florida is more of like a New England type feel, New England style mansion, because it's in Liberty Square here, which, you know, is more colonial times of America. And so they film the movie and they go, oh yeah, we're in Louisiana. The car has, you know, you see the back of the car, you see the Louisiana license plate. It's like, cool. Then all of a sudden you see the car pull up to wherever they're at, and there's a Louisiana front plate. Fail. Louisiana doesn't use front license plates. It was shot in California because they're required to have front license plates. So, so the cheat sheet, they say their final thing about Tomorrowland is the true failure as an original script. This is one fundamental problem with the entire project of Tomorrowland as an original story that flopped in its opening weekend thanks to its lackluster story. It hurts the future of other original movies in the process. A studio getting a risky new script on their desk is less likely to take a chance on it, knowing that the movies like Tomorrowland didn't end up panning out well for anyone. Instead, they're more likely to take on a safe bet and yet another sequel or reboot. So, and they're saying the franchise route's the easiest.
I guess not Disney. Pixar, right? They do choose Toy Story, so.
Yep.
I did look up the John Carter thing just because I was curious, because I did hear something about it like last year. It says Disney may not have scored within an adaptation of Edgar Rice Burroughs' John Carter of Mars, but the author's estate still hopes his book can become a film franchise. They transferred the rights back to him. That's what I read like a year ago, and I was like, yeah. And he's looking for a new studio to bring John Carter back to life. So, you know, if he's involved, you know, the writer of the books, then I think it's going to be
His estate. Yeah.
I don't think he's alive.
The other news story I was thinking of before that we were talking about before show, Warner Brothers, that one of their big execs made the announcement that Warner Brothers is DC Entertainment is not making superhero movies. So they're taking a page from the Sphinx from Mystery Men. And I think the quote was, "We're not making superhero movies. We're making movies about superheroes."
We touched on it back in the Oscar days of, like, you know, the jokes that were flying around about superhero movies and stuff like that. Like, it's some sort of genre that's to be shamed for being a part of. Yet those are also the very movies that are making millions and millions of dollars. So,
yep.
You know.
Rejection. How I missed you.
Yeah, it's just I don't see. It's just like flipping the tail. Like, oh, I never thought of it that way. But you're saying the same stupid thing. So it's just some PR person that's like, oh, I'll show them. This will wow them.
So, well, my local news brought it up, but I've seen this other places as well. As we continue talking about movies, because I'm sorry, what the hell is there to do in Greenville? I'm not saying, but I'm saying. AMC Regal Cinemas are under investigation by the Department of Justice. So we're talking the two biggest movie theater chains out there. They're looking into how both chains use their clout over smaller competitors. One potential anti-competitive practice being investigated is known as film clearances. Under this practice, theaters reportedly tell Hollywood film studios they won't screen certain movies if competitors located in close proximity also screen the film. So that'd be like saying, say the three of us live within a mile radius of, or have a theater in a mile radius. Marty's going to show Star Wars. I know Star Wars is going to be a big hit. I'm going to show Star Wars. And then Jules decides, well, no, if my two competitors are showing Star Wars, I'm not showing. And she's a bigger company than we are. All of a sudden, we're not getting Star Wars and Jules is getting Star Wars.
Yay!
Bite your tongue.
So basically, they're just, they are kind of colluding in a way, or maybe strong arming, to make sure they get the movies and not necessarily some of the smaller mom and pop style movie theaters. There are many of them out there.
Yeah, to continue with this, small independently owned multiplexes claim big movie powerhouses swipe business away from them using this technique. That was the argument used by Viva Cinemas, which filed a lawsuit against AMC back in April. Viva, which serves Houston's Hispanic community, claimed that AMC broke antitrust laws by threatening major studios not to show films at Viva and cutting off the flow of first-run films to the theater. This ultimately caused Viva to go out of business. Wow. So,
so Viva died.
Yeah. The two chains hold a lot of weight in Hollywood, with AMC operating 4,972 screens and Regal running 7,334 screens nationwide. Both AMC and Regal revealed the investigations Monday. AMC said it did not believe that the company violated any federal antitrust laws and is cooperating with the authorities. Regal's echoing the same thing. So
it's kind of interesting. To me, it's like, if you are the big two, why are you worried about the small guys? Because there's not that many of them out there. Most of the theaters that are in my area are all either Regal or Carmite. So, you know, you've already got a stranglehold over probably most of America. Why are you picking at this blister that doesn't hurt anybody? I guess is one way to look at it. Competition, but if you're the big dog, then you have nothing to fear.
Yeah. Well, apparently they do have something to fear if they're pulling this practice. Yeah.
Seems kind of odd to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's also seems completely legit too. That's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would think. I don't know how it all operates as far as how certain movies go to certain theaters. But I would think that if you're a smaller place and you're just trying, you know, you just buy the print or you rent the print or however that works, and then you get to air what you want. So it's kind of weird that somebody would say, no, you can't have that because of some silly rule. Like, but I'm going to give you the money for this. Why do you not want my money?
Yeah, it makes sense, but it's the way business is done. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking, you know, some rival podcast that I've had issues with. Yeah, maybe I've wanted to see them collapse, but I mean, I've never done anything to go, people who they've advertised are coming on as a guest. I've never done anything to sabotage them, saying, no, oh, you've done that show. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in having you as a guest on this show. It's just not the way I work. It's not how I run production of this show or our site. I want the guests to have, they're promoting stuff. I'm not taking promotional opportunities away from other guests. We're going to do our interviews our way. They could do their all the others do interviews their way. Who cares? I think the film theaters need to realize the same thing. But it's what happens when you got to be the big dog and greed takes over.
Yeah. Sadly.
So, I'm trying to see if there's other news, before we hit the last two topics. I guess I'll just go right into the other two topics. Y'all heard about Star Wars number 6. It released today. Man, three of the Star Wars books released today. Yeah, what, Star Wars? Star Wars, Vader and Leia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think something got a little off schedule.
Well, Leia was supposed to release 2 weeks ago. It was supposed to release last week. Because I remember it was one of our picks on Mighty Marvel Geeks, and it ended up being released today. It's not the first time Marvel's done that to us over there, where it's been listed as one day, and then all of a sudden it shows up the following week as well, and it's like, and it's not released until later. So, but with Star Wars, this is a spoiler if you have not read the book, and if you haven't read the stories on the internet, but, apparently some awesome fight scenes between Luke and Boba Fett, which I haven't gotten my copy yet, so I don't know. I'm spoiling this for myself even. But I'm excited, though, to see what actually is happening. But apparently it ends with some woman coming off a ship. I'm assuming it's the Falcon, claiming to be Han Solo's wife. What? So, and now, because the comics are considered canon, now Han Solo is cheating on his wife with Princess Leia.
Unless a scoundrel does.
Unless somehow they end up getting divorced or she gets killed before Empire Strikes Back.
Maybe the thing with Leia already ended. Maybe she decided to leave him for Chewbacca. And so this is actually Han's second marriage. Possibly third or fourth, because we don't really know his backstory that well.
Well, we know... we interviewed Jason over on Mighty Marvel Geeks. We'll have to get him here too. But we know that as he's writing the stories, he has to present it to Lucas for approval. Who's to say we don't, that the potentially the Solo's kid in The Force Awakens isn't from this gal? What do they call her name? Call her Santa Solo.
Santa Claus.
S-A-N-A.
Santa. Oh, okay. Sauna.
So.
Not like a sauna.
Who's to say that? And she looks like she's black descent. Well, Star Wars universe. She is dark.
Lando's. What if it's related to Lando? Oh. Not only did he get the Falcon from Lando,
he got the wife.
Or daughter or something. Like, yeah, it could be like, I don't know what age they're depicting her.
Party in the house. So, it's going to be intriguing. That one's going to be interesting. And then, what was it? Marvel tests final Spider-Man contenders on Captain America's Civil War.
I thought that would... I didn't actually look at the articles, but I thought I'd heard they already cast them. Maybe it was early speculation.
It's still early speculation. Tom Holland and Asa Butterfield were the best known of the contenders. The other four hopefuls were Judah Lewis, Matthew Lentz, Charlie Plummer, and Charlie Rowe.
What about Charlie Day, maybe?
No.
Charlie?
No. And not even Charlie.
Charlie Tuna?
Charlie's Angels. We talked about that. We brought up a Charlie's Angels reference last week with Tracy. I think she enjoyed that reference.
Sci-fi ladies, Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. Where Charlie talks like this. Sorry.
I just kind of hit me the other day. You know, Ant-Man's only like, what, 3-4 weeks away now?
It's July.
It's July 1st, right?
Something like that. New trailer just came out.
Yeah.
For it. New trailer.
So it's kind of...
I don't think it's going to be Guardians level, but I think it's going to do well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got me intrigued because it's got that feel of like Guardians. Can they pull it off? Because
yeah.
I don't know, in some ways it's been rumored for a long time, so it feels like it's been a long time of coming. And in a perfect Marvel world, they probably would have had Ant-Man before an Ultron movie, so they can tie in the Pym connections there.
That's what I was wondering.
So kind of, yeah. And so they didn't, so it makes you wonder if if they're even going to connect much of that. Granted, they're going with Scott Lang as Ant-Man. He's the thief and not the brilliant scientist, but maybe that'd be rationale there. But yeah, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it. Any other movies that you guys are looking forward to for the summer?
Jurassic Parks and Rec.
It looks like it's going to be interesting, I guess.
It's definitely way too much.
I like the Barbasol commercial tie-ins. I was like, well played. Getting your money's worth 20 years later still.
I'm definitely afraid it's going to be too much CGI. Yeah. But I've seen the other three in the theater, so I don't want to ruin the track record. Marty, I saw you added something about Moms and Lucifer.
Yes, they go so well together most of the time. No, I kind of wondered about this happening pretty much as soon as I heard about it. Fox has got a new show coming out. I don't think it's in the fall. I think it's going to be like January of next year. But it's going to be titled Lucifer, based on the Vertigo comic book of the same name. And it's a comic book show, so of course naturally we're interested, and we're not thinking of the instant ramifications of maybe some of the religious entities not digging a show, possibly glorifying Satan. So yeah, the 1 million moms have started an online petition to try to get them to stop the show, or at least not air it on Fox, I guess. So far they have like hardly anybody signing the petition because it's a comic book TV show. It's not being taken seriously. And they put up a little synopsis of it. It's like a series will focus on Lucifer as he gets bored and unhappy as the Lord of Hell, and he resigns the throne, he abandons his kingdom, and he goes to LA where he starts helping the LAPD punish criminals. At the same time, God's emissaries are sent to LA to try to convince Lucifer to return to the underworld. So, it's probably going to be a little bit of graphic violence, maybe a little, all the sins that you can think of, because, hey, that's what is full of religion. But yeah, the 1 million moms, they ain't so happy.
They're not happy about anything. So I feel like I always want to think of something I can do to get them mad, just because they drive me crazy. Every single thing that could possibly be, they're against. And they have like 5 members. It's not 1 million. So like, that sounds like it's right up my alley. Actually, does it say who the lead, like who's playing Lucifer, I guess?
It shows a picture of the guy, but I don't have his name. Didn't really talk too much about the show, but I can find out for you. I think this is like another case of why do you have to be so crabby? Just watch something else, because there are 9 million other things you could be watching at the exact same time. So,
yeah, but it's not as much
to
fun.
Me. Yeah, it's not as much fun as telling other people, making other people have the same beliefs and things I do.
Like, I'm all for standing up for things, but they're against everything. Like,
yeah, if you're airing this on Nickelodeon, then okay, then that might be something
right,
else.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, just let it go. Because it's always stuff that, like, because they don't believe in it or something, then they're against it. Like, you can't always believe in what everybody or like what everybody else likes. Don't even get me started. But yeah.
Lucifer is played by Tom Ellis.
Ooh, why does that sound familiar? Google.
Yeah, it's a pretty common name, but I'd say his I find his like claim to fame. And he's actually just kind of a fresh face. I can't say his bio is really, anything that sticks out that you should know him by. Which is good. That's probably an easier way to take it. Yeah, George Clooney doing it, then it would probably tank.
But I'm starting to wonder now, at what point do we start to see the same thing with Dwayne Johnson? Because I guess he's supposed to headline the Big Trouble in Little China remake.
I heard about that. And he's got an HBO series that's about to come out.
Yeah.
And then San Andreas is out in theaters now. Oh, he's apparently our boy Ellis will be playing Lucifer, was in an episode of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. I just read that, yeah.
Yeah. So you should know who he is. And a lot of EastEnders. So,
well, here's another.
Anybody that knows their BBC soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another fun one. This comes from Heroic Hollywood, and it's Marvel Studios and Netflix Phase 2, a look inside of Marvel's Phase 2 of Netflix shows. The author of this is El Mayimbe. Apparently, he's no longer with Latino Review. This is his new company.
Are you sad?
No, because I haven't found anything to carry more weight with this, story. But talked about shows. There are other non-Netflix series in development as well, which are only complicates things further down the road. He's saying that, rumor has it, Kevin Feige at Marvel looks down at the TV side of the franchise and finds it as a necessary evil. I don't know. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
I think opinion may change with Daredevil, but I guess Daredevil is technically not TV. That's streaming,
right?
Kind of television, but it's not the traditional form. They don't have, other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess, Agent Carter.
Which both were very successful.
They're both successful. It seems like they didn't give up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They could have. They could have felt like they could have cut after season one.
Yeah.
It wasn't the numbers juggernaut that I think that everyone thought it was going to be.
And right now, with Sky being given her stuff, they could very easily start tying in Secret Invaders on that one. And even possibly make that the spinoff series instead of what they were going to do with the Honeymooners with Bobby and, was it Bobby and Hank? But of course we know
Honeymooners?
Yeah. A Honeymooners type or a couple type show with those two characters. Since Bobby, Mockingbird and her, not on the show, Hank is her ex-husband.
Okay.
So.
As someone who has, is about, 40 episodes behind on the series, I needed that little backstory.
We know with Netflix, you got Daredevil, which just came out. Then next is AKA Jessica Jones, then Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist. Titles that could come to Netflix, Cloak and Dagger, Miss Marvel, a Hulk
Miss
prequel.
Marvel's going to get her own. I was going to say Miss Marvel's getting her own. No, I guess it's not. It's Captain Marvel. So.
Captain Marvel's getting the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
A Hulk prequel. Inhumans. But why do an Inhumans TV series to build up to the movie? Leave that for S.H.I.E.L.D. Leave that with, if you're going to do something more with the Inhumans, then do the Secret Invaders. Have that build up. The Runaways would be another fun one. That's being kicked around. Punisher and Blade been kicked around.
If they did a good Punisher one, I would just love it. Because I was so wanting to love the movies that they did, and I didn't. So, if it could have that same grit and feel as Daredevil, because Daredevil's, there's some similarities to those characters.
Yeah.
Maybe not their methods or styles, but there's some similarities, and you need a Punisher that's in sort of this gritty New York style city to really work.
See, I like the first Punisher movie.
It's all right.
I mean,
talking Dolph Lundgren?
No, oh God, no. No, the one with
you're talking
the
Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good, and I always say that the hardest thing for me to swallow was the fact that it was the location. It was in Tampa, and they did that for budgetary reasons for shooting the movie, but it kind of made me realize like how much just like the dark, gritty city of New York is really a character of Daredevil or of Punisher to really give him that feel like, this could happen. Big city, this violent city, and Tampa doesn't hold that same sort of
not the way it was portrayed. Connection. I mean, it could with the drug lords and everything else, but yeah, New York would still be better.
Still too bright and shiny. It's the same as like when the X-Files moved to LA. It's still too bright and shiny.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that dimness that Vancouver did when the X-Files shot there.
Yeah. I mean, if they were going to do that, they should have used Miami more than Tampa, but everyone uses Miami.
Should have went to Vancouver.
Yeah. Said that was Tampa.
Go north, young man. Go north. Go to Croatia. And I think that's where some of Game of Thrones is shot. That's good.
Yeah. But for me, I mean, the Travolta Punisher, I didn't think it was too bad, especially since it was like kind of setting up the origins of Punisher. I mean, it definitely, if they kept the same actor, I think Warzone would have been a little better. Or if they used that actor for the first film. It's just changing your actors, I think, hurt it.
A little bit, but he felt a little bit more imposing. And they just didn't give him any kind of story to work with in that Warzone.
Yeah. Yeah. Around. So, that's all I've got for this week. You guys have anything else?
I see, I saw DC started their DCU campaign, Y-O-U campaign, and it's basically the post-convergence DC version now. So they launched a bunch of new books today and started fresh directions for some of the old ones. So I know, like, Bizarro came out, mm-hmm. Batman Beyond came out, Batmite came out.
Starfire
came out.
Right? Green Lantern and not yet, but it will, I think.
Oh, Starfire is next week.
Yeah. As possible.
I thought it was
so,
like,
you know,
week.
It's a whole bunch of new ones mixed with a whole bunch of old ones, and we'll see how it is. Because I don't know, as a DC fan, I still feel burned that we just relaunched 4 years ago and we're doing it again.
Yeah.
It's not maybe a full relaunch, but still feels like, what was the last 4 years? I feel like I've been in this relationship before, and it feels like I should have learned, but I'm coming back to you for some reason, even though it feels like you cheated on me. That's how I talk to you now.
First time is a mistake. Second time is a choice.
Shame on you. Shame on me.
So
I feel the same way. I always come back to DC, like, no matter what I'm reading. Like, there, I was on a Marvel kick for a while, and then I went right back to DC, and then, like, you know, it's like, you can't give it up. Like, you can't.
Right now, I'm pretty much Marvel. I mean, I got one DC book that's going to be pulled on a regular basis, and that's Starfire. Other than that, it's the different Star Wars titles over at Marvel and the Disney Kingdom stuff for Marvel. That's my pick. Those are my pull lists right now. I'm not even picking up the new Avengers stuff after Secret Wars gets done. So
that's the thing with Marvel right now, is they're right in the midst of Secret Wars, so most of the tie-ins are, and all books are kind of all hinging in that area. So
yeah,
for at least
the little Avengers versus X-Men by Scotty Young looks interesting, but I'm afraid. I'm really afraid.
They also released the Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, which,
yes, we got that.
Yeah,
it's written by Slott, so of course I had to get it, and it looks really good. It's gonna be good, I think. So, I hope.
It's curious, you know, I didn't know if that was them testing the waters to see if we need to have a if Peter Parker and Mary Jane need to be married again, or if they're gonna keep them separate, or if it's just for nostalgia, or if you know, I guess what the backstory is for them doing this.
Yeah.
So, any other tidbits, shout-outs, news before we wrap it up? So, well, if that's going to call it a week this week, on the behalf of Marty, Jules, and myself, you've been listening to Weeby Geeks, your official voice of the geek revolution, as I hit serious announcer voice. And I guess until next time, we just ask that question, what's that to do in Greenville?
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.